This is the gospel of the resurrection, according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. While it was still dark, Mary comes to the tomb. We spend most of our time, all of us, every single one of us, groping toward the Lord, groping toward the light of the Lord. Every one of us, we're groping toward him. And she came to take care of him. She came to the tomb to do something important for our Lord. And that's the call for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us want to do something important, do something with our lives. And Mary's shocked that the stone has been removed. It's gone. And so, verse 2, she ran to tell Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, we'll call him John, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they laid him." In need, in fright, and she's just scared to death, she does exactly what we all need to do. We go find our friends. We go find those who will support us, keep us, help us. But it's really interesting who she went to see. She goes to see Simon Peter. He's the fallen away Christian, isn't he? He's the one who denied three times. Simon Peter's the one who said, you know, if I ever stepped into the church, the roof would cave in. He is. We have a dear friend, Matt and I. His name is Carl. Carl is the most frightening man I ever met. He's a Marine. He's 60-something. He's huge. And is as big as his chest is, as big as his heart is. He will do anything, anything. He comes every Easter to cook. And I know if I ever need anything, I call Carl. But he's never heard me preach. He and I have never shared communion. Well, if I ever stepped in that church, the roof would cave in. And I told Carl, you are wrong. You know, I'm scared to death. You know, Carl, you're wrong. And that is wrong. Christ accepts each and every one of us right where we are, always, and loves us inside and out. And she also goes to Jesus, John, the one whom Jesus loved. He's the cradle Christian. We all have a John in our life, the people of sure and certain faith who help us always. Who help us always. And she cries out, "They have taken our Lord." They are the non-believers. They are the enemies of Jesus. Now, since they're they and they're enemies, shall we give up on them? No. Thank you, Tyler. No. No way. Love your enemies as yourself. If believers had given up on the enemies of the church or the enemies of Jesus, there'd be no Apostle Paul. I wouldn't be standing here. Verse 3, then Peter and the other disciple set out and went to the tomb. Peter and John are in the same physical place and they run out to the tomb, but they're in different places in their hearts. All of us, folks, are in a different place spiritually. All of us are different. We don't have one starting point, but no matter where you are today, he's with you. He's running with you. As you seek him, he's already found you. The two were running together. This is my favorite because I'm Peter here. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Some come to faith faster than others. Some race to faith. Some of us are slower and we take more time. For some, it begins in the nursery and it's just this arc for their whole life. For others of us, it's yeah, we're doing great. Oh, not so great. So we start, we stop. We're not even sure where we're going to start. It can take many struggles. Start, stop, start, stop. St. Augustine, St. Francis of Assisi, start, stop. They never would have agreed with you if you said, you know, you're going to be a saint and people are going to be thinking about you 700 years later. But here they are, here we are. John bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. John was quicker on the road to faith, but he pulled up short. He pulled up timid. He's not sure. John's a follower. It's always Peter, James, and John in the scriptures. John's a follower, so he's not sure about this whole thing. Then Simon Peter came, following him, went to the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by himself. Simon Peter saw and went into the tomb. There's never anything timid about Peter. He goes marching into the tomb, but he looks in and he sees, and he doesn't understand. Peter's a person of the mind. He needs more data. I need more data. I don't understand what's going on here. Then the other disciple, John, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. And yet, he did not understand the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. John follows Peter into the tomb, and the man of the heart sees and believes. He still doesn't get it. He still doesn't understand. But boom, instant conversion. This person led by the heart doesn't get it, but he's ready now. Then the disciples return to their homes. They go to their comfort zone. We all take this faith stuff differently. Some of us just can't wait to come back here next week, can we? Others of us, it might be a month or so-ish. A couple of us were laughing yesterday at our men's breakfast. I remember vividly the pastor standing in front of everyone, looking around and chewing out those who only come to see the lilies and the poinsettias. It's like, whoa. Some of us take more time. Some of us need to work on it. If you come to see lilies and poinsettias, great. If you come every so often, great. If you're here next week, glad to see you. We all come to faith and we all live in our faith in our different time. And Jesus is with us. He always, always is with us where we are. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. Oh, I didn't see in my notes. And you are always welcome here. Always. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. This is her hopelessness. This is the desperate situation. Sometimes we can't see out of our hopelessness. Sometimes it is so desperate. But Jesus always gives us that glimmer of hope. He always gives us that little peek into the tomb. And we keep seeking, even if we don't think we'll find. We keep seeking, even if we don't think we'll find anything. I'm going to be a pastor. I should stand up here again. Don't ever sell God short. God will always give you hope. There is always hope in Jesus Christ. He was dead and buried. And he is alive. Christ is risen. And then she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they laid him." The angels prompt Mary into putting her worst fear into words. "I don't believe in this resurrection yet. Those enemies have taken my Lord, and who knows what they're going to do with his body." Mary has hit rock bottom. All is lost. We've been there, haven't we? Rock bottom. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know him. She did not know that it was Jesus. She turned around. Great, great old word. I keep punching it at everybody. She repented. She turned around. She doesn't repent from sin, but she repents now from her despair. She turns around and knows that this Jesus will carry her. But she doesn't recognize Jesus yet. Our life is constantly turning toward him. Just we're always turning toward him. Always. But God bless you. Sometimes we recognize him, and sometimes we don't in our life. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" That's the question for today. That's the question of our lives, isn't it? Whom do we seek? What do we seek? Who and what can give us security, joy, happiness, riches, love? Whom and what do you seek this day? Now, if I ask that to the young disciples, they would answer Jesus, because every time I ask a question, the answer is?
Jesus.
We're in church. That's right. Good answer. And some people have known this all of their lives, every single moment. I have friends who went into ministry literally in high school. I didn't even know which way it was up in high school, but they're in ministry already. And they retire then, and you know, they don't have much financially, but they have peace, patience, kindness, love, and riches that I don't understand. And I have friends who have been searching and searching, and now they're into middle age and still searching. And you know what? As they seek, that's okay. It is truly right and legitimate to forever seek Jesus Christ, however he will appear. We seek and we seek and we seek. And what does he promise us? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Some of us take a lot longer than others, but that's okay. We keep seeking. We keep searching. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." She thinks he's the gardener, and she asks for help from a stranger. It's okay to can always ask for help. That person next to you, to somebody else, always ask for help. Now, you might find Christ this morning in this church, in this truly terrific sermon, through the sticks, through the music ministry. You might find Christ in church with Christian people. But we don't own the franchise. Jesus Christ is working every moment of our lives, every person we meet, everywhere there is Christ. We can meet Jesus Christ in people very far from this church in settings that aren't very sacred at all. Because he's with us where we are. Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus calls Mary by name. That intimacy, she recognizes him. "You called me by name and I ran out of the cave." Jesus knows you with that same intimacy. He knows your name. He knows your name. And he knows all your pureness and purity and goodness and wonderfulness. Absolutely. And he knows all your pollution, all your bad thoughts, all your words I can't say in church. He knows you inside out, upside down, and loves you just the same. He loves you. Wants you with him. Mary cries out, "Rabboni," and latches onto him. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But I go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary's holding tight for all she's worth in that moment. Sometimes that's all we can do, is hold tight to Christ. Hold tight. But there are times that we got to back off and let him do his God thing in our lives, even if we don't recognize it at that moment. But he's there. He's doing it. Mary Magdalene went out and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. She went out as fast as she could and said, "We have seen the Lord." And that's where we're at today. This is the day of days, the joy of joys. We have seen the Lord. We can't be other than joyful. Maybe. Let's look at the other Gospels just for a second. Mark 16:8. Mary and the other women fled the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Sometimes we are uncertain. Sometimes our faith is shaky. Sometimes it's hard to say anything about. Sometimes we're doing things and we don't even know why we're doing them or can articulate why we're good people, why we're doing good things. But Jesus is there. Jesus is there. We're living out a spirituality by spirit, by work, by acts and examples. Luke 29, and the women and Mary left the tomb, went to the apostles, but the disciples did not believe them. We make bold witnesses. We spend our lives doing this and that and doing all we can, and we are ignored. Sometimes the world just isn't ready. And sadly enough, sometimes that world isn't out there, but it's at school. It's at work. It can even be in our own homes. But we keep doing our Christian thing because we know he's right there with us. I think most of us ultimately identify with Matthew 28. They left the tomb, Mary and the women, quickly, with fear and great joy. They ran to tell the apostles. Then suddenly Jesus met them right where they were and said to them, "Greetings." What a great understatement. Hello. And what do? They come and hold on. They hold on to his feet and worship him. And Jesus said to them, "Fear not. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me." In wonder and awe and with fear, this, what's the Lord going to ask of me? If I come to this faith thing, if I live out this faith thing, what's the Lord going to ask of me? It's fearful. I do this for a living, and sometimes I don't like it, and I'm fearful. But with great joy, with gladness, we seek the Lord. Sometimes we hold on as tight as we can, and sometimes we're holding on by our fingernails. And still, we do our faith thing because he is with us. He is here. He is in this body. He is in this bread, in this cup. He is in with us today. Today, Christ is with us.